Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is here, and he appears and shows himself and is with the believers. And Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam sent forward a messenger, and that is me, and he sent forward another messenger, and that is Ahmed al-Hassan, and people have seen Ahmed al-Hassan, and his name was in the will, and my name is in the will, and whoever saw me has seen Imam al-Mahdi, and whoever has saw Ahmed al-Hassan alayhi salam has saw Imam al-Mahdi, and the first of us is Muhammad, and the last of us is Muhammad, and all of us are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهدينا وسلم تسليما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear brother and companion يحيى
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته أبو صادق
Thank you for joining me
Thank you for having me
God bless you So today we're going to speak about our mission It's an episode in which we speak to the people about what it is that we are trying to do on this channel with this dawah. We kind of recap our mission. It's a mission statement, so to speak. We believed in the verses of the Quran that said that God is near and he's closer to his servant than his own jugular vein. And that the individual, if he wants to speak to God, he could just call upon God and be sure or have yaqeen in the answer that would come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from God. We heard the message of the oppression of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. We heard that Jesus had said that he was going to send another comforter. We heard that he came as the Messiah. That is what we were taught, that he came to rule as a promised king. That is what the Jews were waiting for. And when he came, the people did not support him and did not accept him to be a king, and they chose instead for the release of a criminal, and they wanted to crucify their own king and their own Messiah. And so Jesus had to abort the mission, and Jesus had to say, I'm going to send another comforter who's going to come. So if he's a comforter and he's a messenger, then there must be another messenger who's to come. And we find that in history, there was another man whose name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who claimed to be that particular comforter. And so we followed him, and we found that his family said that after him and after his message that he called the people towards, that great oppression came to them, and they were the ones who were his successors, and that the people that he appointed, whom were like the disciples of Christ, were to Christ, to him, the people turned on them and killed them and abandoned them, and they corrupted the religion after them, and they caused the Imam of our time to go into hiding and to be absent from the people. And we heard that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person dies and doesn't have a pledge of allegiance in their neck, they die the death of ignorance. And if they die and they don't know the Imam of their time, they die the death of ignorance. And so it was obligatory upon us to find the Imam of our time and to support him and to pledge allegiance to him and to be like the youth in the cave, waiting and ready to support the Imam and to declare themselves innocent from the tyrant. And we heard that Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam said that no faith is accepted except if we first declare ourselves innocent from the enemies of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, the tyrants and the usurpers. And so that is the direction in which we went. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us and He gave us many incredible dreams and insights from Him. There were dreams that we had along the way, each and every one of our brothers and our sisters that are with me on this path. I myself have seen many dreams before on my road towards the Imam. There were dreams that I saw where I was standing on a great balcony and I look up on the sky and I see a full moon, and on the moon it is written, Baqiyatullah khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. And that means the remnants of God is better for you if you are believers. And this particular verse is associated with Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. And one of his nicknames is the remnants of Allah, because he is the last remaining imam from the 12 imams. And so he's the remnant from the family of Allah, or the family of Muhammad. And so this dream was an indicator to me that I was on the right path, and that the Imam was with me, and that something was right around the corner that was waiting for me. I saw a dream also where I was lying on my bed, sleeping in the position in which I was actually sleeping. And my soul was outside of my body, and I was looking from the corner of the room at my body, and I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi and Imam Ali alayhi salam walking into the room, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi points at me and he says to Imam Ali, "He's arrived, there he is." And so these dreams served as great confirmations for me that the path that I was on was the correct path and the proper path. And it was soon after that, after seeing these amazing visions, after seeing visions also in which I saw myself inside of the tomb of Jesus, alongside the Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam. After having seen these visions that made me firm in faith, I heard the voice of a man in the wilderness who was calling out, who was saying that the supremacy is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was warning us of the non-working scholars and telling us that we should ask Muhammad and the family of Muhammad about the scholars of the end times before we ask the scholars of the end times about the family of Muhammad. And that line struck a chord with me and with all of the believers, so much so that it made us wonder why nobody has ever thought about that or realized that before. How come people didn't realize before this voice that we're hearing now that there has never been sent a prophet nor a messenger to the earth that has ever gained support, and its dawah or his dawah grew and his religion took off on the backs of the support of the scholars of that time? Rather, every single prophet and messenger that's ever been sent, every single imam has always had the scholars of his age as the enemies and the voices that was opposing them. And when we actually look into the narrations about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, the imam of the time, we find that the imams had forewarned us and had told us that the scholars and the jurisprudence of that time, the time of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, would be more dangerous to us than the armies of Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, and would be more dangerous to us than the Antichrist Dajjal himself. And so we have them being described as being the most evil force force on earth and the most evil and corrupt people that are under the sun. And the narrations also mentioned that they would be the frontline enemies against Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, in which he wouldn't start with any other enemy except for them. So those people that are waiting for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, or picturing Imam al-Mahdi as somebody who's going to come and fight against the Jews, or to fight against the West, or to do this or to do that, the narrations say the opposite of that. They say he doesn't do any of that stuff until he first takes care of business at home, and he defeats and destroys and fights against the hypocrites of the Shia and the non-working scholars whom are issuing fatwas to kill him. And lo and behold, we find that the same man who was telling us this particular message, who was calling towards the supremacy of God and telling us that the greatest sin that is existing on the earth today, the greatest sin that's existing on the earth today is not murder, it's not fornication, it's not adultery, it's not theft, it's not usury, it's not any of this stuff. The greatest sin that exists on earth is pledging allegiance to the tyrant. And that the concept of one choosing his own leader through democracy, or pledging allegiance to a fake or a false imam or ruler or leader or king, is the most dangerous crime that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran that he will forgive all things except for shirk. And Muhammad and the family of Muhammad defined shirk as associating with God a partner, not in the sense of worshiping two gods, because nobody after Muhammad worshiped two gods anymore, but rather associating and pledging allegiance to an imam other than the imam who was divinely appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that this is the entirety of religion. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi had said in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran that he has not sent a single prophet or messenger except that they be obeyed. And so every messenger that came, who was appointed by God, came as a guide, but he also came as the leader and the ruler of the nation. And we find that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came, he didn't just come as a prophet, and then the people or the Muslims had, in addition to him, another king or another caliph. That would be a disaster. Imagine the Muslims, they have as a ruler over them a caliph that's living at the same time as the Prophet Muhammad. That's impossible. So the Prophet Muhammad, when he was here, he was the final messenger to the people, but he was also the caliph of the Muslims, the leader of the Muslims, the ruler and the king over them. And Jesus, when he came with that as a title, as a condition. He was meant to be the Messiah. The Messiah is the king of the Jews, the ruler over them, the successor to David and Solomon, the one who is meant to rule in the same likes as David and Solomon. And because they attempted to crucify him, the Muslims believe, each according to their own doctrine, that he will return in the end time precisely for that reason, in order that he may rule as David and Solomon ruled, and as he was intended to rule, and he would remove from the earth all of those false kings who were not appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing with Moses. We find that he came and the people were actually criticizing him. The Israelites were Korah, and these people were criticizing him and saying that he's trying to be a king over us. And there was no political leader or ruler over those 600,000 Israelites that left Egypt except for Moses himself. And it was Moses who appointed his heirs, Aaron, and also Joshua, who ruled after him. And so we find that it's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who appoints the ruler. That's how creation started off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Verily, I am making a caliph in the land." I'm the one who's appointing the caliph in the land. And he appoints Adam alayhi salam as the first successor, representative, ruler on the earth. He makes all things subservient and obedient to him. And he differentiates differentiates the devils from the angels in that particular way. Isn't it incredible that the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, they say that the angels were surprised when Iblis fell, because they thought that Iblis was an angel like them. And so then, by the apparent look of the apparent physical appearance of Satan, they were unable to distinguish him and know that he was from the jinn and that he was not an angel. They didn't know that. The apparent appearance of Iblis was that of an angel. And the only thing that made them know that he wasn't an angel was the fact that he didn't prostrate to Adam and he didn't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that. And the same thing goes for us humans. We are unable to know who are the ones that are the believers, that are like the angels in their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who are the devils that are amongst us from mankind, because we too are confused about the exterior appearance of them all. The only thing that we have to distinguish between them is that the believers obey and they prostrate to the leader or the ruler that is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby the disbelievers, Iblis, and the children of Iblis, they do the opposite. They prostrate to the sun, they prostrate to the moon, they prostrate to the trees, to the wind, to the clouds, to the to everything that they can prostrate to, except for the caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's precisely what we see happening in today's society. We find a small group of believers in every day and age that would withdraw themselves from society and that would follow the divinely appointed imam or successor, right? And the one that was appointed by God. Hence, whoever dies and doesn't know the imam of their time, that dies the death of ignorance, whereby the devils and the sons of the devil will pledge allegiance to Putin, they'll pledge allegiance to Zelensky, they'll pledge allegiance to the Osama bin Laden, they'll pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, they'll pledge allegiance to every tyrant and false scholar and false ruler and leader and the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood and I don't know who, and this political tyrant and that political tyrant and ruler. And so all the people that engage in these types of elections and choices, and they choose and accept and love and adhere to a person who's not appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become like the devil and the helpers of the devil, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that contain in them the light of God, they only follow the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed. And that's what we found was wrong with the Bani Israel, and that's what offended God so much, and that's what God got angry with the Israelites about when they objected to Samuel, who was the choice of God, and they wanted that God appoint for them a king, and God was offended by that, because it's only God who appoints the ruler in the way that he wants to appoint, and the person that he chooses, and he doesn't choose because of the exterior appearance, he chooses because of the heart. And we're unable to know what's in the person's heart. And we're unable to know who's good for us. And that voice that we heard was the voice of a man who was named Ahmed al-Hassan al-Yamani, a voice of a man who's claiming to be a messenger from Imam al-Mahdi and claiming to be the promised Yamani. And the Yamani in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad is a character who's a precursor to Imam al-Mahdi. He comes before him, he gathers his ansar, he has a banner. The narrations state whoever goes against his banner is from the people of hellfire, so he's obligatory to obey, and the person who God makes obligatory to obey must be an infallible human being. So he has to be a hujjah, he has to be a proof, he has to be a messenger, he has to be an appointee, he has to be a divinely appointed caliph or king, and that's exactly what Ahmed al-Hassan al-Salam claimed to be. He claimed to be the first of the 12 Mahdis, the messenger of Imam al-Mahdi, the son of Imam al-Mahdi in the soul world, and I found him calling towards that. I found him being attacked by the non-working scholars, and I found him also being called by the ignorant of the people. I found him being accused of being a liar, a Dajjal, an antichrist. And I thought to myself, and that's an accusation that I receive also all the time, that I'm a Dajjal, a liar, an antichrist. And my response to them is the same response that I had at the time in defense of Imam Ahmad al-Hassan. If the Imam or the voice that's coming forward and he's calling towards the supremacy of God is an antichrist, if the person who's calling towards Muhammad and the family of Muhammad is an antichrist, if the person who is claiming that he is the divinely appointed successor and he's using as a proof the will of the Prophet Muhammad that he wrote on his deathbed, in which he named by name each and every one of his successors. If that man says, my name is in that will, and we look at the will and it says that Imam al-Mahdi after him, there's Abdullah Ahmad and al-Mahdi, and he's saying that he's Ahmad in the will of the Prophet Muhammad that the Muslims rejected, and they said the Prophet is delirious, he's delusional, we don't want to hear what he has to say in the very famous narration called The Tragedy of Thursday. If he is upholding the will of the Prophet Muhammad that was brought down in an event that's called a tragedy for all Muslims, if he's calling towards the supremacy of God, if he's demonstrating this knowledge that the scholars are not sharing with us, if he's telling us things that are factual, that are truthful, then what is it that the Mahdi then is supposed to be calling towards? If that man is the Antichrist, then what is the Mahdi calling towards? What's the message of the Mahdi? The message of the Mahdi cannot be identical to the message of the Antichrist, right? So if the Antichrist is calling towards the will, and he's demonstrating knowledge, and he's calling towards the supremacy of God, and he's calling towards Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, then what is the Mahdi going to call towards? Is he going to call towards elections? Is he going to call towards the Muslim Brotherhood? Is he going to call towards ISIS? Is he going to call towards terrorism? Is he going to call towards a particular monarchy? Is he going to call towards what? Socialism? Communism? What system of rule is he going to be calling towards? And then I found that the non-working scholars were claiming that, Imam al-Mahdi is supposed to come to support us, and we already have a state, and the state is called the State of the Jurisprudence. And that's the Republic of Iran. And then I found that the scholars are transgressing even more. And they were saying, there's video evidence of this. They've said, the scholars have said, and the followers of the scholars said. And we have callers from the Hausa who have called onto our satellite station and stated it. We can have the director actually cut and place that clip in here so that everybody can see with their own selves. They would say that if Imam al-Mahdi came and he was against the state of Iran, that we should kill Imam al-Mahdi and fight against Imam al-Mahdi, because Imam al-Mahdi's whole point was to establish a divine just state, but we already have this state. And so since we have this state, if Imam al-Mahdi goes against it, then he's the one who is the enemy. Can you imagine that? La'natullah on these minds. We have people from the Hausa that called in the channel and they said that if Imam al-Mahdi is against the Marja'iyya, if he's against Sistani, if he's against Khama'ini, if he's against the imitation, the taqleed of the scholars, if he's against that, then by Allah, we will fight him and we will kill him.
Allah hayak wiyak, Shaykh Abu Hassan, Ustaz Ba'ad Khalid, with Hamza al-Almiyya al-Sharif.
أهلاً وسهلاً بك.
بس أرد على سماحتك.
شوف.
بس خليني أرد.
أقول لك فتوى الشيخ.
كلامك هذا تقول بأن العلماء سوف يقاتلون الإمام المهدي عليه السلام. شوف خليني أقول لك هذه الكلمة. لو أن خرج هسه المهدي إذا يطلع ويريد قاتل مرجعي والله لن يقاتله.
لا إله إلا الله.
So they already have open enmity by their own admission, by their own tongue against Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. As if they never read the narrations. But Imam al-Mahdi that's in the narrations appears in a totally different way. The Imam al-Mahdi that's in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, these people are the ones that are claiming that they're Shia. claiming they're followers of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, when really they're the followers of false idols and dajjals. Imam Mahdi, of the narrations, he comes with something new. His enemies are the scholars. He rules by different jurisprudence. He has a new book other than the book that we have here today. Imam al-Mahdi, who comes according to the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, has a new Quran and says that the Quran that we have with us today is corrupt, and that if it doesn't have its companion or guide, it's not worth anything. The narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, people that get up in arms about the Quran topic. The narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad are filled with narrations in which they state that the verses in the Quran have become so twisted that the meaning altogether has changed. For example, there's a verse in the Quran that says, and forgive me and my parents. وَغْفِرْ لِي وَلْوَالِدَيْهِ. This verse in the Quran, the Imam says, that's not how it came down. And the way that it came down was, and forgive me and my sons. Not my parents, my sons. And it was the dua of Abraham, and he meant by that to forgive him and his sons, Isaac and Ismail, alayhum salam. Well, that's a big change. And that changes the whole meaning. There's another verse in the Quran that says, الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. The ones whom separated in their religion, divided their religion, and they were Shia. And many of the Sunnis say that that's proof that the Shia are divisive. You should just be Muslim. The Shia are the ones whom divide the religion. They corrupt the religion. But Muhammad and the family of Muhammad said, no, that's not actually how it came down. The way that it came down was, الَّذِينَ فَارَقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا Shia. The ones who left their religion and they were Shia. And it's in reference to the people who used to be Shia, but they apostated after the death of the Prophet, and they left Islam by not obeying and pledging allegiance to the Imam of their time. Isn't that incredible?
It's incredible, Abu Sadiq.
The narrations even state that the corruptions are so many you can't even recount them in one episode, and the narrations that indicate that. There's even one narration that indicates how far astray the Muslim nation has gone, that it's done exactly as the Jews have done. You know, the Jews, they state, like when you ask them about the verses in Isaiah that speaks about the crucifixion and the piercing of the Messiah, or the world savior, they say, oh no, the piercing of the Messiah, it's not about the Messiah. It's not about Jesus. So what it's about is about Israel. Israel itself as a nation, they got pierced. And Israel itself, they're the ones whom are going to spread justice and equity. Like they take the role of the Messiah and they place it on the nation or the Ummah of Bani Israel as a whole. They exonerate the nation of all its sin, and they make them and elevate them to the degree of the Hujjah themselves. And the same thing we find happening in the religion of Islam. And this is what the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam said. And they said that the verse from the Quran that says, and you were the best nation that came out to the people, that you were khayr ummah ukhrijat linnas, right? That this verse, you were the best nation that came out to the people. This is not how the verse came down. And the Imam says, how can this verse be about the nation of Islam and all the normal people when it says that, and you ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhuna 'anil munkar, and you're commanding good and you're forbidding evil? Is not in the nation thieves and fornicators and liars and corruptors in the earth? Are they too commanding good and forbidding evil? But rather the way the verse came down was, And you were the best a'imma that came out for the people. You were the best imams that were brought forth for the people. Meaning the imams from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, they were the best imams that came out for the people, and not that it was the best nation that came out for the people. So you see that the Muslims are taking all of the things that were attributed for Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, and they're taking them. And there's a whole lot of narrations that state that the verses that say, for example, and it was أَيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ, that these verses from the Quran had in their Al Muhammad, but the family of Muhammad was taken out. It was أَيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا Al Muhammad أَيُّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ, that this is originally how it was. Or the verse وَلَسَوْفَ يَعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that originally came down, وَلَسَوْفَ يَعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ الْمُرْتَضَى فَتَرْضَى. And so the names of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, and the titles and the verses that were speaking about them were taken out intentionally in order that it may degrade their level and degrade the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and bring their place down and elevate the normal people out. And so they leave in their verses that are complementary to individuals that are merely companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, such as Zayd, so that they can also give compliments to each other or to the nation of the Muslims. And they leave in there the family of Muhammad as being, or the relatives of Muhammad in the Quran, but being portrayed in a negative light. For example, like the verses or the surah that concerns Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet, who is against the Prophet, and the Prophet and God sent their curses upon them. That's fine. They'll leave verses like that in, but they will take out all the verses that are complementary to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, or his family, or that commands the idea that we must follow the ruler. So if the Yemeni is calling towards that, and they're calling him an antichrist, then what is the Mahdi calling towards? And so this voice that was coming out of the wilderness that said that the Prophet was oppressed, and that each prophet or each messenger commands or lists his successors by name and commands the nation to pledge allegiance to him and follow them, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi did exactly that in his will on his deathbed, and that's why he said that whoever holds on to it will never go astray. He gave us a key. He gave us a way to be safe. He gave us a method whereby we can guarantee for ourselves that we would never go astray, and that is if we follow those individuals who are named in that will, who are the appointees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what I found myself having to prostrate to and pledging allegiance to and holding on to. And that's where we went, and that became our mission to do so. Now, at some point, Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam informed me and commanded me to go out to the people and awakened me to the mission that I had at hand, and told me that I must claim also to be a successor in that will, because my name was also written in that will, and that my name is Abdullah. And he said that I was his son in the soul world, in the same way that he was the son of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, and that I was a messenger from him to the people, just as I was a messenger, and just as he was a messenger from the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. And he commanded me to go out and to raise the flag that has never been raised from the time of the Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali alayhi salam, the flag that in 1200 years, had never been raised by anybody else except for the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. The flag whereby the narrations state that if you see this flag, you will know that it is the flag and the banner of the Mahdi, and that is the black flag that's written in it, Al-Bay'a Lillah, or allegiances to God. I am the only individual who successfully fulfilled that prophecy and raised that banner and displayed knowledge that is divine knowledge and claimed the will and brought it as a proof and a letter of appointment from my grandfather, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, and that I work night and day calling people towards the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling them to be angels prostrating to the person that God appoints them, warning them that if they associate with God, another God, by taking for themselves an imam or a leader that's not appointed by God, that the sins that this individual that they voted for, that they elected, that they pledged allegiance for, they will share in the sins that this person shall reap due to his actions. And that a person must declare himself from the tyrant and must stick to Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. I have that mission. That's the mission that God gave me. Ahmed al-Hassan alayhi salam commanded me to declare myself as the Qa'im of the family of Muhammad, and he himself declared myself as the prophesized riser from the family of Muhammad, whom it is obligatory for all those who hear my voice to pledge allegiance to me and to obey, to hear and obey and to support in my mission that I have in this day and age, support with everything that they have in order that a divine just state may be established through peace and prosperity, and for us to be a beacon of light for the nations. I'm commanded to go out and to continuously talk and speak in a period of time. That is the mission that I have. It's the same mission of Adam and Abraham and Noah. It's the mission of the Israelite prophets that came after Moses. It's the mission of Moses himself and Jesus. It's the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who spent 13 years. You see, each and every one of these prophets and messengers, before the relief came and before they had a state, they spent a time period making adhan in the people, calling out, waking them up in order, as the Quran says, men and women shall come forward, and men whom had kept their allegiance and their oath in the Adam world may come forward and support the messenger. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi had a dawah in secret for 13 years in which he spread the religion of Islam in taqiyya, in silence amongst the people, in secret, in the homes, before even going public. And then after that, that's when the migration came, and that's where he got the city of Medina, in the city of the Prophet, and he had his own little divine just state there, and he gave asylum to the Christians and the Jews and to all the people that were being persecuted all around the world, and all of them lived together in harmony in that state. Jesus, he didn't have the chance to do that. He only had 3 years of his dawah in which he was going around, and he was actually just doing that, preaching to the people and claiming that he was mentioned in the book of Isaiah and displaying his knowledge and performing miracles in order that the people may recognize the truth. Moses spent 40 years preaching to the Israelites and allowing them to get prepared and sending Aaron forth ahead of them to prepare the way before he came out and led them outside of the lands of Egypt and into Sinai and into the desert on their way to the promised land, in which they spent an additional 40 years after that. Noah, according to the narrations, he spent 950 years making dawah to the people before the flood came and before the ark came. And so nothing changes now. the da'wah of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam starts, as the narration stated, that before the Mahdi, before the Sufyani, that there is a Yemeni and there's an Egyptian. And Ahmed al-Hassan is the Yemeni and I'm the Egyptian, the Qa'im from the family of Muhammad, that have both been sent forward. And our job and our mission as such right now is to peacefully preach to the people and to awaken them and to call in order that the lost tribes of Israel, the true Shia, the followers of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, those whom are chosen by God, whose names are written in the tablets and in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of life, may gather from the four corners of the earth, all those whom are the angels that have been scattered through the land, that prostrate to none and obey nothing other than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the divinely appointed ruler, caliph, gathered together and support this call and support this da'wah. People ask, where is Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam? Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is here, and he appears and shows himself and is with the believers. And Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam sent forward a messenger, and that is me. And he sent forward another messenger, and that is Ahmed al-Hassan. And people have seen Ahmed al-Hassan, and his name was in the will. And my name is in the will. And whoever saw me has seen Imam al-Mahdi. And whoever has saw Ahmed al-Hassan alayhi salam has saw Imam al-Mahdi. And the first of us is Muhammad, and the last of us is Muhammad. And all of us are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And it's not important, and it doesn't matter if you see one messenger or the other messenger. The point is that you heard a divine messenger who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And certainly at the beginning of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when he sent forward letters to Kusra of Persia, and he sent letters to Hercules of Rome, and he sent letters to all of the different empires and the rulers of those nations, those letters were taken forward by messengers. And there was no excuse for those rulers just because they didn't see the Prophet Muhammad in the flesh. The reception and them hearing the message served as a proof enough upon them. And those who accepted the message are in heaven, and those who rejected the message are in hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never make in a person enter into heaven carrying upon him a sin that he kicked out an angel for or kicked out Iblis for, and that is the rejection of the Imam of the time. And so our religion is a foolproof religion. There's no a hole in it. Our religion is the religion of Adam, Abraham, Noah, all the prophets and the messengers. Our religion is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in our midst. I'm the one who came to the people, and I'm the one who's speaking now, and I'm the one who's making the claim. And I challenge anybody to bring forward a religion that is better or more perfect or that makes more sense than the religion that we have today. And I want to take this opportunity to tell the believers out there that are pledging allegiance to this call, and they're wondering, what is it that I can do? I think it's very important that they do everything that they can do to support this cause. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa said that the people are of different kinds, and there's a lot of evil that's going on in the world. And right now we're living at the very final hour, at the very final moment before catastrophe hits the earth, and people wish that they were dead. They will look for and call out and remember my name, and they will seek me because they are hungry and their families are dead, and they are seeking the mercy and the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I'm telling them before that time comes to go out there and decide, what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be a person who, when he sees evil, he forbids evil with his hand, with everything that he can? He supports the truth with his hand and with everything that he can. that he be like or she be like the disciples of Jesus or the disciples of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, like Salman, who migrated from the East all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, or like the disciples of Jesus that left their ships and left their jobs and left their family members and left the dead, bury the dead in order that they may go forward and be apostles and messengers of Jesus Christ. And that's the best of faith, to be able to support with all your money and all yourself and your life and your blood in the end. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bought from the believers their own selves and their money in order that they may receive paradise. Or if you can't do that, if your faith is still weak, if you're still unsure, if you still don't know if you can do that, if you're still afraid, if you still have too much love of dunya, if you're still incapable of committing to the truth, then in that way, then at least use your tongue, the Prophet says, and change evil through your tongue and inform the people that you live around and hope that God forgives you and accepts that as enough of a support to make you enter into paradise through guidance of other people, by going forward in the lands, in your different cities, and preaching. The narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad say that the Qiyam, the rise of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, doesn't happen until the message of God, His word, the supremacy of God, has been raised in every single nation and spot on the earth. That means that there's a period of da'wah and believers pledge allegiance all over the world. Every country on earth has believers in it. Once that happens, then the beginnings of the promise come to pass. So go out there, spread flyers, put up stickers, speak to people, print books, print pamphlets, encourage people, engage in debates, ask questions, write letters, send emails, make comments, spread videos. And if you can't do that, if that is too much for you, if you're afraid, if you're trying to hold on to your reputation, if you're ashamed of supporting God, then know that God and His Messenger are ashamed of you too. But God is merciful, and He will forgive all those who have faith in Him. And so at least be strong in your faith in your heart and be a good, decent human being and a good believer, so that when we do have a divine just state, you may enter into it and enjoy peace and prosperity, and that you may be safe through your faith and allegiance and belief in the Messenger of the time. You may be safe from the punishments that will befall mankind due to their own choices, because they've elected and chosen maniacs and put into power devils that are about to destroy the entire earth and that are threatening each other with nuclear weapons and that have signed off on bills that allowed the development of weapons that would obliterate the entire earth and everything that's on it. And don't participate in elections of false tyrants, and don't support non-working scholars. And I say this saying of mine, and I seek forgiveness for you and for all your brothers, and for every shortcoming that we had. And all people are shortcomers in the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ali muhammad, and imma wal mahdina wa salam taslima, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.